This story is brought to you by Scary Storytime at www.scarystorytime.com. This is Spooky Boo. A brief announcement to make before I begin the story. For those of you who enjoy giving to my Patreon, GoFundMe, or PayPal accounts, this time I would prefer that you donate to a charity of your choice to the victims of Sonoma and Napa counties. They've had some really crazy fires happening as of this morning, starting I think around 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of displaced people and animals going on there. This is my hometown area, and I grew up in the area, and I, you know, just love to give back what I can. So if you want to, please give to that area instead of to me. I have no way to collect money for a charity, so I would prefer that you just give directly to that, to the organizations that are helping out up there. Whether it be like the Red Cross or a fire police department, wherever might be taking money for the victims up in that area. Thank you. Now for today's story. Bunny Man Bridge. Back in 1903, deep in Clifton, there used to be an asylum buried deep within the wilderness of Clifton. Pretty soon after the Civil War, people started inhabiting the area, population-wise around 300 or so. It was a very small town. Nonetheless, people didn't like the idea of having an asylum miles down the road, so they all got together and signed a petition for the asylum to relocate elsewhere. The petition passed and a new asylum was built, which is now known as Lorton Prison, a temporary facility for convicts to stay in until they are appropriately sentenced. In the autumn of 1904, the convicts were gathered and piled into the bus used to transport them to Lorton. Somewhere during the drive, not too far from where they left, the driver had swerved to avoid something, and the bus started to tip, and was soon rolling in a terrible collision course. Most of the convicts were injured, but managed to escape the bus and had fled into the night towards the woods. The next morning, a local police investigation had begun, and they began rounding up the escaped convicts. Hours turned into days, into weeks, weeks into months. Everyone was recovered after 4 months except two of the people named Marcus A. Walster and Douglas J. Griffin. During the search for both men, the police found dead rabbits, all of them half-eaten and dismembered, every now and then along their search. Finally, they were to find Marcus dead by the Fairfax Station Bridge, now known as Bunny Man's Bridge. In his hand, he held a man-made hammer-like knife tool, made with a sharp rock and a sturdy branch as a handle. They thought nothing of it and didn't care how he died, only that he was apprehended and they no longer had to worry about him. They had a name for Marcus, but later on they would realize they named the wrong person Bunny Man. Still searching for Douglas, they kept on finding dead half-eaten rabbits every so often while the search went on. Eventually, they were to name Douglas the Bunny Man from then on. Months passed and the police gave up their search. Everybody assumed the Bunny Man was dead by now, if not gone, so they went on with their small town lives. Come October, people started seeing dead bunnies reappearing out of the blue and starting to fear the unseen. Halloween night came around, and as usual, a bunch of kids had gone over to the bridge that night to drink and do whatever kids their age in the early 20th century did. Midnight came around within minutes, and most of the kids had left. Only three of them remained at the bridge. Exactly after midnight, a bright light came from the bridge, right where the kids were. A few seconds later, they were all dead, throats slashed with the same type of tool that was found next to the other escapee, Marcus. Not only were their throats slashed, but they were cut up and down their chests, gutted like fish. The Bunny Man then hung both of the boys from one end of the bridge with a rope around their necks, hanging them from the overpass with their legs dangling in view of any passing cars. The girl was hung the same way on the other side of the bridge. This happened on Halloween in 1905, After that, they didn't see or hear anything from him for another year. Halloween 1906 was approaching, and parents as well as the teens at Clifton still remember the incident that had occurred 1 year ago at the bridge. His bridge, the Bunny Man's bridge. That night, 7 teens were left remaining right before midnight at the bridge. Thinking little of it, 6 remained inside the bridge while 1, Adrian Hatala, had remained a good distance from the bridge hoping to have enough time to escape if the same thing happened again. She was the only one to witness this, a dim light walking the railroad track just before midnight, stopping right above the bridge at midnight, then disappearing at the same time that a bright flash was inside the bridge. She heard the deafening sounds of terrified screaming coming from inside the bridge that lasted only seconds. Moments later, they were all hung from the edge of the bridge in the same way as the corpses a year earlier. Horrified, she ran home and refused to tell all of what she saw. Just spattered words mixed with incoherent mumblings that the people of her town had to put together to come up with her story. No one understood it or believed her. They charged her with the teens' murders and locked her up in the asylum of Lorton. In 1913, the same thing happened, with 9 teenagers this time, on a Halloween night once again. Adrian was still locked up. They dropped her sentence, but it was too late. The insanity had finally conquered her. Even if she was released, she was too far gone to have a life. So she spent her remaining years in the asylum until she finally died in 1953 of reported shock. No one knows exactly what she died of shock from, but supposedly she had died in her sleep, dreaming of that one dreaded night. Perhaps the Bunny Man had finally gotten to her. More murders were to take place, however, although after the murders in 1913, most people stayed clear of the bridge on Halloween. 1943 rolls around and 6 teenagers go strolling out on Halloween night. A couple of hours later, all of them dead, same way as all of the others. Investigations took place, but as usual, nothing was discovered. 1976, the same situation occurs, this time with only 3 people. The only other incident that occurred since then was in 1987. A woman was enjoying the night with her 4 friends. Halloween night had finally come, and they had gone driving out to enjoy the night after invading the children's candy bags. They had settled around 11 p.m. at the bridge, waiting for midnight to come. They didn't believe in the myth, so they decided to see it for themselves, and were to be the only ones who actually withstood the Bunny Man. They had waited around an hour or so, and it was nearly midnight when Janet started getting a little scared. They had all been up pulling pranks on each other, jumping out of the bushes and screaming, so she was already a little worked up. Midnight hits, and by this stage, she's in a total panic. She's almost out of the bridge when the lights get really bright outside. When that happens, her body is halfway outside the bridge. She sees her skin start tearing at the chest, but nothing is piercing her skin. She manages to finally leave the bridge. Completely horrified, she hits a hanging body and knocks herself out. When she awakens, she discovers that she has been bleeding. She was lucky that the cut had just started, and it wasn't very bad at all. She left and never returned to the bridge again. She has been seen sitting on a swinging bench on her balcony every morning, just staring in the direction towards the bridge a couple of miles down. From then on, the story remains untouched and unmoved.